you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Monday. Hopefully you had a nice weekend. Welcome to the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hey, Frankie. October 18th it is, correct?
I believe so,
yes. All right, good. I'm Juliet Huddy. Here are the big stories making news this morning.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
Family and friends are gathering in Bayonne. Actually, they gathered yesterday. It was a viewing for Maria Ambrosio, a New Jersey nurse who died last week after being shoved to the ground by a homeless mugger in Times Square. A funeral service is scheduled for today. Meantime, the attacker, 26-year-old Jeremiah Foster, charged with felony assault, robbery, and murder.
Also in the Top 5 at 5, we have the situation involving the trial of Ahmaud Arbery, jury selection beginning today in Georgia. He's the man who was chased down and shot while jogging in a neighborhood early last year. The three suspects are a father and son and their friend.
Attention, Johnson & Johnson vaxxers. Time for a booster shot. Stat. The FDA voted to recommend COVID boosters to all adults. I mean, that's significant enough. All adults who had the one shot Johnson & Johnson jab. But the real key is that you should get your booster 2 months after your one shot. That's because data has shown that the efficacy of the jab plummets fairly quickly. A study of 620,000 military veterans showed the J&J shot's protection went from around 88% to just 3% after just 5 months.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says passing the bipartisan infrastructure bill will be key in improving America's supply chain. Speaking on CNN's State of the Union, Buttigieg said funding in the bill would help fix some of the problems caused by the coronavirus pandemic.
There are $17 billion in the president's infrastructure plan for ports alone.
And experts say a group of Christian missionaries kidnapped in Haiti most certainly will be ransomed. Officials say the 17 members, which includes three children, were building an orphanage near the capital city of Port-au-Prince when they were abducted. One of the victims was able to send a WhatsApp message asking for prayers. This is a really dangerous gang that we're dealing with, the abductors. They're called the 400 Mawozo. The missionaries are working with an organization with tens of millions of dollars in assets, according to their reports. And that leads many experts to believe that this criminal gang could be hoping for $1 million per abductee. And those are your top five at five. WABC News Time 5:03. We have traffic on the sevens with Joe Nolan. We've got weather. We've got Matt in with sports and some of Hollywood's most iconic memorabilia, including items from Star Wars, Gladiator, and one of the most iconic horror films of all time. It's your history hit at 5:20.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Illinois Representative Adam Kinzinger says being a part of the January 6th committee is about finding answers to how the attempted insurrection happened. Those are his words. He told CNN that going after former President Trump's political aide, Steve Bannon, is the first step in holding people accountable. He admits he's not sure if the committee will subpoena Trump, but it could be a possibility if they believe he has information they need. Adam Kinzinger was elected as a Republican. He's one of the Republicans serving on that January 6th committee. And Los Angeles County wants NBA legend Kobe Bryant's widow to take a psychiatric exam before her lawsuit over leaked photos goes to trial. Vanessa Bryant and others are suing for emotional distress because county fire and sheriff's office employees showed crash site photos in settings outside the investigation, including a bar. The crash in January of 2020 killed Bryant, the couple's 13-year-old daughter, and seven other people. L.A. County filed a motion Friday arguing that independent medical examinations are needed to determine whether the leaked photos or the crash itself caused emotional distress. And according to Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, coronavirus vaccine mandates do nothing but create more vaccine hesitancy. Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, the Republican Hutchinson said he's worried about workers losing their jobs for refusing to get vaccinated. Hutchinson said he agrees mandates can be effective and can work at healthcare facilities, but he said he'd rather leave it up to the employees and not the government. And we're keeping an eye on a story involving Haitian security forces saying at least 17 U.S. missionaries have been kidnapped in, and we're going to tell you more about that later. And actually, I'm sorry, I didn't see that in your 5 at 5 earlier. Sorry if I missed that one. But an oncology nurse from Bayonne died after being pushed by a mugger in Times Square, and she's being laid to rest. Friends and family remembered Maria Ambrogio during her wake on Sunday, and a church service will be held at St. Henry's Catholic Church in Bayonne at 10:45 this morning. Ambrogio was walking through Times Square on October 8th, when a man knocked her down after allegedly stealing a phone from someone else. Police say her head hit the ground, knocking her unconscious. She died a short time later. And the shows will go on in Hollywood. This after a new contract agreement was reached between the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. This is a pretty big deal because things had gotten very heated. The agreement, which was announced on Saturday, runs for 3 years, and it includes retroactive wage increases of 3% annually. This daily rest periods of 10 hours without exclusion, weekend rests of 54 hours, and the adoption of initiatives for diversity, equity, and inclusion. The agreement heads off a strike that would have started today, shutting down film and television production across the country. So thank goodness we avoided that.
Now we're going to move on to some weather, actually, from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. We had a chilly day yesterday. I mean, it didn't really help that we had a lot of wind. Today, we're looking at sunny skies. We may have some clouds roll in there with a high of 59 degrees. And again, we'll have some of those winds, maybe 10 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, we're getting down to the mid 40s. It's going to be clear skies. Tomorrow, mainly sunny day, high 67 degrees. So we're jumping up about 10 degrees thereabouts. Again, though, we're going to have those kind of light wind, so it's going to make it feel a little bit colder. Tuesday night, we're looking at partly cloudy skies and a low of 56. On Wednesday, abundant sunshine, high of 76. Wow. Low humidity. That's going to be a beautiful day on Wednesday. 55 degrees for a low on Wednesday night. And on Thursday, that's when I leave on my trip.
Lucky you.
Yeah, 74 degrees, actually. It's going to be a really nice day. So humidity is kind of getting up there. But at least we've got lots of sun. I don't see any rain on the way, at least at this point. So thank goodness for that. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 50 degrees, Frank.
What's trending?
All right, let me tell you what's trending around the world. But first, let's hear from Juliet about what's hearing in the trending in the nation.
We've got a lot of stuff trending today. Gabby Petito's family was concerned about her cross-country trip, but felt her boyfriend Brian Laundry would take care of her. Petito's mom, Nicole Schmidt, speaking to the Australian edition of 60 Minutes.
I felt safe because she was with Brian, and I felt like she would be okay. I thought he would take care of her.
Yeah, well, Brian has been missing since September 17th, and of course, the body of Gabby Petito was found on September 11th. And let's head upstate. A killer who was just 13 when he sexually assaulted and beat a four-year-old boy to death with a rock is going free. Eric Smith was, again, 13 years old when he lured Derek Roby into the woods. He spent 27 years in prison for the horrific crime and was never able to get parole granted until now. The 41-year-old could be released as early as November 17th. The case gained notoriety back in 93 for, I mean, obvious reasons, but also when Smith, again, 13 years old, showed up to court wearing a Bugs Bunny sweatshirt. And a Washington State trooper went out in a blaze of anger on his last day of work. The 22-year vet was forced out of a job 2 days before a vaccine mandate was introduced across the state. More than 90% of local workers there have had their jabs, but this trooper wasn't having it.
This is the last time you'll hear me in a state patrol car, and Jay and Z can kiss my ass.
All right. To Pennsylvania now. What would you do? This story makes me crazy, Frank. I don't understand. Well, it's a question a lot of us ask ourselves after we see some of the horrible videos of people being robbed and attacked on our streets. But a situation down in Philly has the country in an uproar. A man was arrested after raping a woman on a SEPTA train. I mean, that's bad enough. Mm. But adding insult to injury, he did it while train riders just sat there, not even calling 911. Cops say it was a train employee who finally stepped in. The victim was taken to the hospital. 35-year-old Fiston Ngoy was arrested on scene, and he was charged with rape and assault. Here is the authorities.
There was a lot of people, in my opinion, that should have intervened. Somebody should have done something. It speaks to where we are in society. I mean, who would allow something like that to take place?
In some ways, it's like the Kitty Genovese situation. Mm-hmm. I think for some reason, psychologically, if you're the only person that sees something, you tend to act. But if there are many people that see something, everybody assumes somebody else is going to do something.
See, that's the thing. My husband is convinced I'm going to get killed because I have such a big mouth. When I see any, you know, anything like that, I do. I mean, I'm not like that. I've never seen anything like that. But I have a big mouth and I'll start ranting and raving at people. I'm like the Karen on steroids.
All right, let me tell you what's trending around the world. There's one group that is loving the Taliban's victory in Afghanistan, and that's the Taliban in Pakistan. In Pakistan's rugged tribal regions along the border with Pakistan, a quiet and persistent warning is circulating. The Taliban are returning. Pakistan's own Taliban movement, which had in years past waged a violent campaign against the government, has been emboldened by the return to power of the Taliban in Afghanistan. And the Polish witnesses of the German crime in a section of Poland where there was a concentration camp lived for decades with the memories of their Jewish neighbors executed in 1942. They remembered a meadow that flowed with blood, a child who cried out for water from underneath a pile of bodies, arms and legs that still moved days after the execution. So sites over the weekend where Germans killed Jews were dedicated and rededicated in memory of the victims that were victims of the Nazis back in 1942. And the death of a former Syrian lawmaker, allegedly by Israeli sniper fire, could mark a new phase in what Israel calls its war against Iranian entrenchment in neighboring Syria. And that's what's trending.
I'll give you some more. You ready for some more news?
Absolutely.
Heck yeah, you are. Let's go down to D.C. The White House is getting flack for how it's handling the media's access to the president. In fact, this president has only given 10 one-on-one interviews since taking office. If you compare it to, let's say, Obama had already given 113 one-on-one interviews by the same period. Trump had given 50. Experts say it's a strategy meant to keep Biden from going off script, which, look, that's gotten him into trouble several times throughout his lengthy career. Sometimes getting him, you know, he gets a little too hokey for his handler's liking. Sometimes he gets a little profane. Also not ideal, apparently, for his handlers. But defenders of the 46th president say that he does seem to do a little more chatting on the South Lawn before he goes on trips. And he also frequently answers questions from reporters summoned to the Oval Office. And also, let's go out to California real quick. Former President Bill Clinton is back at home. He spent a few days in a hospital in Southern California. He was brought there on Tuesday, I think it was, because of a urological infection that developed into full-blown sepsis, which is very dangerous. His wife Hillary and daughter Chelsea were seen visiting him over the weekend, and I guess he's going to continue with his protocol back here in New York.
Yeah, apparently he had to stay in the hospital because he was getting antibiotics via IV, which is much more easily administered in a hospital setting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching the monitor right now. We have him. He's walking out. He just, like I said the other day, he has looked very frail.
You're right.
Over the last few years.
You're right. All right, we're going to get to sports in just a minute, but first, a mission to study Jupiter's asteroids is on its way. The United Launch Alliance mission Saturn V rocket lifted off Saturday from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. The mission and the space capsule are named Lucy in honor of the skeletal remains found in Africa in 1974 of a pre-human ancestor that scientists named Lucy. The Lucy mission will study the Jupiter Trojan asteroids in an effort to learn more about the origin of our solar system. 5:15. Let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Ranking. Good morning, everybody. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. Sean McVay wasn't happy walking into the post-game news conference after his Los Angeles Rams had their way with the banged up and struggling Giants. Despite getting another big game from quarterback Matthew Stafford and receiver Cooper Kupp and four takeaways from his defense, McVay didn't enjoy the opening quarter of the Rams' 38-11 win yesterday. The problem was McVay's team had a slow start. It's not the first time this season, but when you're 5-1, coaches expect a lot.
And I was really pleased with that. I think we could be a lot sharper offensively. We got to start faster. There's no excuse. Got to be better than that, but we'll take the win, and I thought our guys did a nice job.
The Rams were very good in the second and third quarters, taking a 38-3 lead over the Giants, who were missing many of their key players on offense. On a brighter note, the Giants celebrated the 10th anniversary of their win over Tom Brady and the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 46 with a weekend of activities, including a halftime ceremony. Former coach Tom Coughlin spoke to the Giants fans, many of whom were long gone when the game ended. And sports at 15:45. I'm Matt Sapienza.
Thank you very much, Matt. WABC News Time is 5:16. So are you a horror movie fan?
Big time. But
are you?
My wife is not, so I very rarely get to watch them.
We just started Squid Game the other night, and I said, John, I have no interest in this after about 20 minutes in. I was like, this is just, it's not my thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's very popular, but I'm not sure I'd like it.
It started off slow to me. He said it got really good, but it feels like it would be something that I would be so tense and stressed out after watching it that I couldn't go to sleep.
Is it really a horror movie, or is it kind of a post-apocalyptic kind of a thing?
I don't know, because I just didn't get that far into it.
Okay.
But anyway, speaking of horror movies, Halloween is out, and it's doing a bang-up job right now with the original Jamie Lee Curtis. And the little girl that played Jamie Lee Curtis is what, like daughter or something on the first? I don't know. I don't remember it. But Kyle from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, she's also in it.
Oh.
I know you're very excited about that. I know Sid is very excited. But anyway, speaking of all of this, Freddy Krueger's razor glove, Russell Crowe's gladiator helmet. I'm going to tell you what they have in common and how you can potentially have them for yourself.
Neat.
Yeah, if you've got a lot of money. That's coming up in your history hit at 5:20. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today it's going to be sunny. We'll have some clouds roll in. High of 59 degrees. Tonight, mainly clear skies. Tomorrow, mainly sunny sky, looking really nice, jumping up to 67 degrees and low humidity. Gets even better on Wednesday. 76 degrees, abundant sunshine and low humidity. Looking very, very nice. Thursday's also looking pretty good too. 74 degrees, sunny. Some clouds, but not too bad. Currently right now in Manhattan, it's 50 degrees.
So if it's 76 degrees on Wednesday, can I persuade my wife that I should have a few more days before I have to put all the air conditioners away? Because she wants me to do that today. Or is it not air conditioning worthy?
Oh, it's not air conditioning worthy
okay,
yet.
So I got to put them away today. All right. Yeah. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we will let you hear from former New York City Police Commissioner Bill Bratton. A whole bunch of things happening in the world of entertainment. But first, what happened today in the past, Julia?
Yes, it's time to go
now,
back in time.
It's Huddy's History Hit.
All right, we're maybe not that far back in time, but there is some serious swag out there in Hollywood to talk about. Like I said, Freddy Krueger's razor glove from Nightmare on Elm Street is up for grabs. And that's the least cool thing, in my opinion, at this upcoming auction. Prop Store is holding a 3-day-long online auction of some pretty unbelievable entertainment memorabilia, including, I have a feeling you're going to freak out over this, a special effects model of an X-Wing starfighter from Return of the Jedi.
That's cool.
They think it's going to go for like hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's a little model. I mean, it's not even big.
Well, is there anything that a regular person can afford?
No.
No. Okay. No.
I mean, maybe. I think the Freddy Krueger glove, they're saying it could go for like 30 grand. Not that that's anything that a normal person would spend money on. But also the helmet and face shield worn by Russell Crowe and Gladiator. The gear collectively is worth an estimated $5.5 million. But you know how these things are. Certain items could fetch a lot more than their estimated prices. Very exciting.
That is
exciting.
I mean,
I would never spend that kind of money on something like that, but because that's not my thing.
Yeah, no.
But I mean, I am looking for something that's Marie Antoinette related that she once had.
But what
and
would
I
you spend
would spend
for
some
that?
Serious money on that.
But what serious money? 20,000?
30,000? No, my husband would murder me. Are you
kidding
me?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying like I'd spend $1,000 on something.
See that? I don't think.
Like a lock of her hair or something?
I don't think you can get a lock of her hair for $1,000.
You don't think so?
No. No way.
What if somebody just wants? Yeah, Christmas is coming.
Well, fair enough.
I mean, you guys blew it on the Harry Styles tickets. That came and went this
sorry
weekend.
Sorry about that. All right, we'll do better this time around. All right, let's have a listen to what former New York City Police Commissioner, former L.A. Police Commissioner, and former Boston Police Chief Bill Bratton said to John Catsimatidis yesterday on the Cats Roundtable regarding the effect that bail reform has had on crime in New York City.
Former Police Commissioner Bill Bratton, Commissioner, what can we do about the shootings? We're seeing some gang violence and, of course, the organized shoplifting all over New York City now?
Well, basically, that question needs to be asked of the people who created the mess we're in, and that's the legislature in Albany, the governor, and the city council and mayor here in New York City. things were going great in this state, this city, up to about 2018 when the legislature decided they're going to reform the reforms. And they made a mess of it. Commissioner Shea today had a wonderful editorial in the Daily News. May take just a moment to read a line or two from that editorial. He says, "I support reforms. The reforms brought by each of the new laws were needed and overdue. The problem is that the new laws were written in ways that skewed the system in favor of those arrested for violent crimes and career criminals. Crime victims were left behind. Since when is government not supposed to support the citizens who obey the laws and punish those who don't? Well, in New York City, we managed to turn it totally upside down. And where does the blame lie? The legislature, the city council, and the political leadership in this state. The criminal justice system in the state is a mess. It was compounded by a coronavirus where it totally collapsed the system. And it's going to take years to fix it, unfortunately."
Commissioner Eric Adams and Curtis Sliwa both want to enforce the laws of the city of New York. Is there a way, regardless of what happens with bail reform, is there a way to arrest the violent criminals and just lose the key for a few days?
Well, the issue is not just the violent criminals, John. There's certainly no shortage of them, unfortunately. But they're emboldened on the way up because nothing that they do is punished, whether it's they start off with use of drugs, sale of drugs, disorderly behavior in the streets, the subways, fare evasion. That's not corrected. And as a result, they each time something doesn't get corrected, they move on to something else. So the violent crime issue in New York is one problem, but the larger problem, if you will, the grooming ground, is the disorderly behavior that no district attorney wants to effectively prosecute anybody for minor crime. The legislature has made it almost impossible to do anything with them. So is it any result that we have violent crime? And even trying to deal with the violent crime, the legislature still refuses to give judges in this state the power to hold somebody, despite the crazy bail laws that passed, to hold somebody who is clearly a public danger to the public. The judges really have no control or discretion over that. Good luck to Eric when he comes in, because he's going to have a tough road to deal with.
What would you recommend to Eric Adams or Curtis Sliwa?
Effectively, what Commissioner Shea has been doing, and that's basically telling it like it is, the idea of the editorial today, the fact that 100 people under the age of 16 have been shot in the city so far this year, that the majority of the people doing that shooting are under 17 and 18, but they are not able to be treated as adults any longer because of the change that the legislature created back in 2017. The idea is that if you're under 18, anything goes. And it was amazing that the young girl that was killed up in the Columbia, the fact that all credit to that judge for basically hitting that kid with the maximum penalty, the fact, because that's just not fashionable in New York anymore.
Thank you so much for calling in.
My pleasure, John.
Commissioner Bill Bratton did a great job as police commissioner. God bless you, and thank you for everything you've done.
You can read about that interview in today's New York Post. They're covering it, and hear the entire interview at WABCRadio.com. Bill Bratton on the Cats Roundtable yesterday. What's happening in the world of entertainment, Juliet?
Let me tell you. It's WABC News Time is 5:25. And in entertainment, we've got some great news about the Kardashians.
Oh.
As if their life can't get any more wonderful enough. Kourtney Kardashian is engaged. The reality star turned businesswoman flashing a massive diamond sparkler from her new fiance, Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker. He proposed on the beach out there in Montecito. That's where the Duke and Duchess of Sussex live, yes. Surrounded by a massive, massive display of roses on the beach there, shaped in a heart with dozens of candles around. I'm saying this thing's about 10 carats. I mean, at least.
You showed me the photo.
Yeah, this thing is massive. I know. And SNL was apparently really funny this weekend. One of the highlights, according to some of my pals, I didn't see it, was when James Bond actor Daniel Craig crashed his No Time to Die co-star Rami Malek's hosting gig. Apparently, it happened during a sketch where Malek and Kenan Thompson were supposed to be competing to play Prince. But Craig shows up wearing medieval garb, clearly the wrong Prince.
Sorry, Daniel Craig.
To audition for the part of the Prince.
Again. Yes, you are. Mm-hmm.
Again, sorry, Daniel Craig.
And the audition's for not for the Prince, it's for Prince, the singer.
Yeah.
Did you even read the script?
Yeah. It's a horror movie that's about racism, right?
Yeah, it is.
That's just, I got to see it. I guess it's probably funnier when you're watching it. Did you watch Succession last night, anyone?
I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen it, so I'm watching it tonight. Season 3 premiered, so don't blow it for me, anybody. But speaking of, one of the scene stealers on the show is Sarah Snook, who plays a Rupert Murdoch-like mogul's daughter. Word is that the 33-year-old secretly got married earlier this year in the backyard of her Brooklyn home. She's actually Australian, I believe. Her husband is Dave Lawson. She says that they had been best friends for a while, but during lockdown, things changed. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at a nice day today, 59 degrees. It's going to be chilly, and we also will have some winds there, but at least we'll have some sun. Tonight, we get down to the mid-40s, mainly clear skies. Tomorrow, we're jumping up to 67 degrees with mainly sunny skies. Wednesday, we jump up even more to 76 degrees with lots of sun and clear skies, looking really, really nice for the next few days. 74 on Thursday, again, sunny, maybe some clouds there, but lots of sun. Good to know. 50 degrees right now in New York City. Frank.
All right. Quite a bit happening in terms of the WABC news desk. Coming up in just a bit in the Frankly Politics segment, I'm going to tell you about one state assembly member who thinks there are just too many people in the world. And I'll also tell you what the stock market did yesterday and what you can expect them to do today. We also have your top five at 5:30, and you're not going to believe what some of the news are. Some of the news is that you'll be hearing about all morning long.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you, Michael. WABC News Time is 5:31. We have traffic on the 7s coming up with Joe Nolan. We also have weather. We have Frank Morano sitting next to us. Say something, Frank.
Something, Frank.
But first, here are the big stories making news this morning. We got some news on family and friends gathering in Bayonne on Sunday. This was a viewing for Maria Ambrosio. She's a New Jersey nurse who died last week after being shoved to the ground by a homeless mugger in Times Square. I guess he had mugged somebody. He was on the run and he slammed right into her. A funeral service for her is scheduled today. Meantime, that attacker, 26-year-old Jeremiah Foster, charged with felony assault, robbery, and murder.
Gas prices are up for the 20th day in a row. AAA reports the national average price for regular is up to $3.325 a gallon, 6/10 of a cent higher than on Sunday. The national average has shot up more than 13 cents a gallon in the past month. It's been 7 years, October of 2014, since gas was this expensive.
Attention, Johnson & Johnson vaccine recipients. Time for a booster shot. Probably stat. The FDA voted to recommend COVID boosters to all adults who had the J&J vaccine. That is significant. But the real key is that you should get your booster shot 2 months after your first shot, your one-off shot. That's because the data has shown that the efficacy of the jab plummets pretty quickly. A study of 620,000 military veterans showed that the J&J jab's protection went from around 88% right off the bat to just 3% after 5 months.
The Congressional Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol is poised to take the first step towards criminal charges against former Trump strategist Steve Bannon. A vote on the matter is set for tomorrow. Bannon has so far refused to cooperate with Democrat-led panel over receiving a subpoena. The committee's chair accused him of stonewalling and said they will not tolerate defiance of any subpoena.
And experts say a group of Christian missionaries kidnapped in Haiti most certainly will be ransomed. Officials say the 17 members, which includes 3 children, were building an orphanage near the capital city of Port-au-Prince when they were abducted. One of the victims was able to send a WhatsApp message asking for prayers. This is a very dangerous gang that we're dealing with that abducted them. They're called the 400 Mawazo. The missionaries are working with an organization that reportedly has tens of millions of dollars in assets. And that's probably something I would imagine that this gang knows. That leads many experts to believe that the criminal gang could be hoping for roughly $1 million for each abductee. So we're going to keep an eye on that. And those are your top five at 5:30. WABC News time is 5:34. The Gabby Petito Foundation had a fundraiser over the weekend near her Long Island hometown on Sunday, raised more than $13,000. So the family is really just trying to make a positive difference out of their loss. Hundreds of people, friends, family, supporters packed into the music venue 89 North, that's out in Patchogue, to celebrate her life. It was a 6-hour event, featured live bands, food, and an auction. And, ooh, man, I don't know if you saw this video. It was alarming, to say the least. A stuntman performing on America's Got Talent Extreme is clinging to life. Jonathan Goodwin was rehearsing for a stunt at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. The stunt required him to maneuver between two oncoming cars that were coming at each other while he was suspended 40 feet in the air. He had to get through the cars before they crashed into each other and exploded. But the daredevil misjudged his timing, and instead he was caught in the middle of these crashing cars that blew up. He slammed into the ground. He hit his head pretty badly. He was airlifted to a local hospital where he underwent surgery. The 40-year-old performed similar death-defying stunts on the show before, including being suspended upside down from the London Eye. Deadline reporting taping for the show is now on pause. All right. So we know that the son of Superman, Frank, is bisexual.
Yes.
Okay. We got that news last week. Now we're hearing that DC Comics has also ditched the words "the American way" from Superman's motto. Remember, it was truth, justice, and the American way? Well, now it's just truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. Supporters say this is a positive step towards inclusion, making Superman more of a citizen of the world. But critics say this is wokeism gone amok, and it's a slap in the face to America. DC Comics execs say, hey, this is just about the guy evolving. Now, what do you do when you are one of the world's richest men and your daughter's getting married? You throw a wedding, of course, unless you're Bill Gates, and then you throw two weddings. Jennifer Gates was married over the weekend, but in a surprise twist to the paparazzi, she and her fiance were first married Friday night in an intimate Muslim service, followed by a $2 million civil service and a star-studded reception on Saturday. The Microsoft heiress married Egyptian equestrian superstar Nael Nassar in front of 300 invited guests at their massive upstate property up there in North Salem. It was the first time Bill and Melinda Gates were seen together since announcing their divorce. And finally, speaking of, disgraced Cuomo aide Melissa DeRosa is getting divorced. She was one of the former governor's closest advisors and was often seen next to him during his now infamous COVID press conferences. She resigned back in August after it was revealed that she'd worked hard to, well, do a lot of things, actually, but one of the things was that she worked hard to torch the reputations of the women who accused her boss of sexual harassment. Apparently, just weeks after celebrating her 39th birthday recently, she announced she's splitting from Uber exec Matthew Wing after 5 years of marriage.
Mm. Biz Buzz.
Wall Street kicks off a fresh trading week this morning after closing out last week solidly in the green. Stocks extended gains Friday on stellar third quarter earnings and a stronger than expected retail sales report for September. American Express and Goldman Sachs helped fuel the market's rise. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones gained 382 points, the S&P 500 rose 33, and the NASDAQ added 73 points. Now, we are keeping an eye on this inflation story and this supply chain story, but those aren't the only stories that are affecting the economy. We are in the first full week of the United Auto Workers Union strike at John Deere. Thousands of UAW members are picketing day and night at plants in Iowa, Illinois, and Kansas for better pay and benefits. Deere says it's committed to putting its workers in a better economic situation, but is also promoting consumers. It will keep production going amidst the strike. And finally, after 2 years of revamping the MacBook, Apple is set to potentially unveil its new design at their launch event today. According to Bloomberg, redesigns for the new MacBook Pros may include their own chips and new ports with space for an HDMI cable to connect to monitors, along with a magnetic charger. The report also says a bigger screen on the iMac and a more powerful Mac mini desktop are also possibly coming. Today's launch will likely provide a release date for the latest version of the Mac software as well. Juliet, before we get to the Jet Set Juliet travel report, what's happening weather-wise?
Oh, we got a nice few days ahead of us. I mean, it's going to be gorgeous today, 59 degrees, chilly, really chilly. We're going to have some winds, so dress warm. And tomorrow it's looking a little bit warmer, 67 degrees for a high, mainly sunny skies. Wednesday, 76 degrees, lots of sun. And Thursday, 74 degrees and mostly sunny skies. Very nice. 50 degrees right now in Manhattan. WABC News time is 5:40. Time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Ah, the world was celebrating, Frank, on Friday after news broke late in the day that fully vaxxed international tourists can once again visit our country.
Yeah.
Starting November 8th. Yeah, I thought it was going to be November 9th to the 13th between them. So I was just a little bit off, but I'm so happy. Tourist hubs like Disney World, Vegas, and New York City in particular are expected to get a big influx of overseas travelers from the jump, which is great news for the economy. Not so great news for folks who are enjoying the lack of crowds, but get over it. And it looks like cruising the big ships is back thanks to extremely stringent safety protocols on the big ships. Most folks that have been polled say that they feel cruising is safer than ever, and experts agree. Meantime, travelers say requiring vaccines to fly or take cruises is actually a good thing. A survey by U.S. News found more than 80% of cruisers say vaccine requirements on the cruise ships are important compared to just 9% who are against them. Alrighty, every year, Travel and Leisure magazine, one of my favorites, asks its readers to rate their travel experiences. We're talking everything from local trips to world vacations. They look at things like islands, ships, hotels, airlines, blah, 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 blah. But this week, we're focusing on cities. Each day, I'm going to take you to a region of the world and give you the top five cities based on things like culture, cuisine, friendliness, shopping, landmarks, attractions, and overall value. Today, we're in our own backyard. These were voted the top five cities in the U.S. for 2021. And number five is New York City. Didn't make number one, but New York City did move up from previous years, which is ironic since our crime rate is like out of control.
Yes.
Yeah. Travelers love the fact that we continue to shine in the face of adversity. That's actually something that they say. They say, you know, kick those New Yorkers when they're down, but they'll get right back up. Travelers also love the fact that there are so many things to do at any hour of the day or night, from bookstores and vintage shops in the village to the variety of different neighborhoods, and along with them, the different ethnic cuisines. I mean, you've got everything you want. We have killer nightlife here. We've got bars, lounges, and clubs for all different types of palates. But we also have the more erudite attractions like the opera and the theater. We really are a city with something for everyone. That is the feeling from travelers. Number four on the list is New Orleans. Yeah, that's actually that's kind of surprising to me, actually. But voters love the fact that it's gritty, but it's charmingly gritty. Not where you feel intimidated, but rather like you could kind of lose yourself, lose your inhibitions a little bit. The city is home to world-class cuisine, and travelers really enjoy being able to sit at a phenomenal restaurant serving Southern cuisine, surrounded by the historic French and Spanish architecture that you can only find in New Orleans. And then, you know, they're done with dinner. They can walk next door to an iconic jazz club and listen to some of the best musicians in the world, all on a random Tuesday night, all while holding a hurricane as they walk on the street.
That's pretty neat. I've never been.
Have you? Really?
It's on my list.
Oh, that is totally your, that's totally your type of place. Number three on the list is Savannah. One traveler called this city enchanting, and I completely agree. It's small and it's slightly mysterious. It's considered the most haunted city, by the way, in the country. And even though another city nearby constantly eclipses it, and I'll tell you which one that was, that is in a second, Travel and Leisure readers are increasingly looking to Savannah as the go-to southern city to spend a long weekend. Votes went to the fact that it's full of history and really does seem to be up and coming. Many say they almost wish it didn't get such a high vote so it would still stay somewhat of a secret. Number two on the list is Santa Fe, New Mexico. This western city is a tinge of cowboy mixed with south of the border. Voters love the fact that it's one of the oldest cities in the country, founded in 1609. In fact, it's home to the country's oldest abode, the De Vargas House, which was built in the early 17th century in an area settled by servants who came to Santa Fe from New Spain or colonial Mexico with the famous conquistador Juan de Onate. Travelers also love the scenery, especially the reddish-orange mountains that literally glow at certain hours of the evening. And number one on the list is, not surprisingly, because it's been number one on the list for years now, Charleston, South Carolina. For a relatively small city, this city packs a massive punch. Whether it's history or food or architecture, Charleston is tops in pretty much everything, according to Travel and Leisure readers. They especially love the cobblestone streets, the pastel-hued grand homes, and the little cottages. I love the gas lanterns. I mean, you give me a gas lantern neighborhood, and I'm not going to leave. King Street is constantly unfolding new bars, boutiques, so it's a great spot for all ages, and it's right there on the water, so you've got boating, fishing, and great beaches a stone's throw away. And those are your top five at five. That's Jet Set Juliet for today. We've got so many little new segments. I'm lost.
5:45. Quite a bit happening when it comes to sports. A big football weekend, both in the United States and across the pond. Also a big baseball weekend with the playoffs heating up. Here to tell you all about it is Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank. And here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. Sean McKay wasn't happy walking into the post-game news conference after his Los Angeles Rams had their way with the bang-up and struggling Giants. Despite getting another big game from quarterback Matthew Stafford and receiver Cooper Kupp and four takeaways from his defense, McVay didn't enjoy the opening quarter of the Rams' 38-11 win on Sunday. The problem was McVay's team had a slow start. It's not the first time this season, but when you're 5-1, coaches expect a lot.
And I was really pleased with that. I think we can be a lot sharper offensively. We got to start faster. There's no excuse. Got to be better than that, but we'll take the win, and I thought our guys did a nice job.
The Rams were very good in the second and third quarters, taking a 38-3 lead over the Giants, who were missing many of their key players on offense. Also, the Braves, they won with a walk-off hit for the second night in a row when Eddie Rosario lined a two-out single of shortstop Corey Seager's glove, giving Atlanta a 5-4 victory over the Los Angeles Dodgers last night in a 2-0 NL championship lead. Atlanta twice rallied from two-run deficits before Rosario came up with his fourth hit of the game, a 105-mile-an-hour scorcher up the middle on the first pitch after closer Kenley Jansen, reliever. By the way, if you want to relive that magical moment from the end of the game, here it is.
Against Kenley Jansen. And first ball swinging. Oh! And it gets through! And here comes the winning run! Swanson scores! And the Braves win again in their final at-bat!
The series resumes in Los Angeles, where Game 3 is set for Tuesday night. The Braves can't celebrate too early because they need two more victories for their first World Series appearance since 1999. With sports at 15:45, make it a great Monday, make it a great week, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Matt.
Make it a good Monday, everybody.
You deserve it.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Sorry. Jinx, buy me a Coke. Welcome back, everybody. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we've got a nice day today. Sunny to partly cloudy skies. High of 59 degrees. Tuesday is getting up there, 67 degrees. Ooh. Mainly sunny skies. Wednesday, 76 degrees with lots of sun. It says abundant sun on my report. And on Thursday, sunny with a few clouds, 74 degrees. It's all in all going to be a really, really nice week. Right now, it's 50 degrees in Manhattan.
Speaking of Manhattan, Assemblywoman Deborah Glick, who's a Democrat who represents Manhattan, has apparently figured out what's wrong with our planet. There are just too many people living here. The longtime West Side politician made the stunning comments in a Friday morning tweet that read, quote, "World population in 1950, 2.5 billion. 2015, 7.3 billion. The lack of family planning because of religious zealotry has stressed the planet, something no one wants to talk about." The tweet is being compared to the stated rationale offered by Thanos, the fictional villain from the Marvel Comics and blockbuster Avengers movies, Infinity War and Endgame, as he attempts to justify his plot to wipe out half of the population. While Glick's pro-family planning message is not calling for half the world to be turned to dust, it's at least the third time in recent years that she's made similar remarks, and that led one Democratic insider to tell the New York Post, "It takes a special kind of demented to watch Avengers Infinity War and think it ends on a high note." If you saw the end of the picture where half the population disappears,
Are you supposed to give it away?
I mean, it's 6 years ago.
No spoilers.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
5 years ago. I mean.
I don't know. I don't keep up with the dates of these things.
Okay. That's what she's being compared
okay.
to.
Okay. The NYPD, as you know, has been instructed not to intervene when they see addicts shooting up on the streets. All well and good, were it not for the fact that it not only creates a very disturbing sight for the rest of us, but more importantly, it led to a massive jump in overdoses. In fact, in just 1 year, deaths due to drugs spiked nearly 40% here in New York City, according to the CDC. And this story freaked me out. This is not getting enough attention. A disturbing one out of China, to say the least, in a move that reportedly took the world by surprise, including U.S. intel. The country, China, fired a hypersonic missile back in August that apparently circled the globe at low orbit and only missed its target by about 24 miles. The incident, experts say, is proof that China has made astonishing progress in its weapons program. And it comes a week after China condemned the U.S. and Canada for sending warships into the Taiwan Strait, accusing the U.S. of threatening peace and stability in the tense region there. That is, did you see that story?
I did. That is scary.
I mean, literally my jaw dropped. I'm like,
yeah.
This is just.
Now, once you, you know, have weapons going in space, it's a pretty dangerous situation. And hopefully that's the kind of thing that Space Force can be on guard for.
Yeah,
these
hypersonic
missiles are bad news.
Yeah, they're really eclipsing the United States, and that's a real concern.
Former President Donald Trump is expected in New York today to testify in a video deposition. He's being sued by four protesters who claim they were assaulted by his security guards in 2015. They say it happened on a sidewalk outside Trump Tower where the deposition will be held. The suit also names Trump's campaign and his former head of security. His testimony will later be presented to a jury. And actor Channing Tatum says a 2019 speech from comedian Dave Chappelle has helped him a lot. He linked on Instagram part of an acceptance speech Chappelle gave when accepting the Mark Twain Prize for Humor. In it, Chappelle talks about how his mother once told him sometimes you have to be a lion so you can be the lamb you really are. Tatum also acknowledged the controversy Chappelle has caused with his recent comments on transgender people in his Netflix special. Tatum said his appreciation for Chappelle's past work doesn't excuse anything hurtful.
President Biden was out and about this weekend, and he rebuked the defund the police movement. While paying tribute to fallen officers Saturday, he praised the efforts of the Capitol Police during January's insurrection and acknowledged being a cop is harder than it has ever been.
And when you look at what your communities need and what you're being asked to do, there are going to be more resources, not fewer resources, to help you do your job.
Also, Gabby Petito's family was concerned about her cross-country trip, but they actually said that they felt her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, would take care of her. Petito's mom, Nicole Schmidt, was on the Australian edition of 60 Minutes, and she had some comments about that.
I felt safe because she was with Brian, and I felt like she would be okay. I thought he would take care of her.
Well, as we know, Gabby Petito's body was found on September 11th out in Wyoming, and Brian Laundrie has since vanished into the ether. Nobody knows where he is, if he's alive, if he's dead. My vote is he's down in Mexico sipping a margarita on the beach and laughing at all of us. I can't believe this guy can get away when you've got the entire country looking for him. I mean,
whole,
is this guy some rocket scientist?
The whole country is under surveillance. You can't walk down the street without a drone reporting to the government what you're doing, but we can't find this guy. All right. We have found, though, Sid Rosenberg, the co-host of the Bernie and Sid program.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi,
good morning. How are you guys?
How
was
your
weekend?
I was just caught up in the promo for Halloween, the new Halloween movie.
Yeah, doing very well.
You know
well.
Who's in that?
Who?
Kyle from Real Housewives.
Oh, Kyle Richards?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, because she was the little girl.
She was the little girl,
yeah.
Exactly. Yes. I tell you, I couldn't tell the difference between Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Myers.
Oh.
I mean, she looks rough. Oh, my God.
Well, isn't she supposed to look rough? I don't know.
No, she's
don't
been
know.
Through
Come
a lot.
On.
Her character's been through a lot.
I know, but I think she kind of looks like that in real life. That's the problem. I don't think it's a makeup deal. I think she just doesn't care,
you know,
which is great.
I will say, though, that Hollywood has shown so many unrealistic depictions of people, especially women.
Yes.
It's nice once in a while to see somebody in a film that looks how
that
normal
nonsense.
Women look.
It's okay to be shallow. It's okay. Will you stop? Nobody wants to watch something on TV that looks like we can get, you know, at your aunt's house during Thanksgiving.
You know what? I just remembered. I went on a date with her brother.
Is that right?
Ben Curtis, a million years ago, yeah, in Hollywood. I met him at the Rainbow, of all places. I was having pizza with my friends, and he was sitting behind me, and we started talking. I had no idea who he was, and I found out it's Tony Curtis's son.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. It was actually husband number three.
No, I never married him. No, he wasn't really my type.
No, okay. No. Well, another weekend, another launch for the Giants.
We have the strangest lives, don't we?
yeah, we do. That'll be part of the discussion on the Bernie and Sid show today. I like these Sunday mornings where they play these football games in London because they get up early in the morning. Yeah. I go work out, get home at 9 o'clock. At 9:30, we have NFL, which is great. Jaguars beat the Dolphins in London yesterday. So we got all the football coming up today. Lowry's going to be here today, as always. Every Monday, Lowry does a great job. Maybe Paul Schwartz covers the football Giants on a daily basis for the New York Post. He may stop by, and all your politics and news from the weekend, as only we do it.
Those football games in London, I mean, are they well attended?
Oh, they're packed.
Wow.
There's not a seat open in the house.
Huh.
And it's great because all the fans in London, if you watch those games, they wear jerseys of every team. So, for example, yesterday was Jacksonville versus Miami.
Right.
But if you look in the stands, there's Giant jerseys, Charger jerseys, Raider jerseys, Bear jerseys.
So is it becoming a sport that people are starting to really get interested in?
They've always loved it in London. Always. And there's always been little whispers of a possibility of a team playing in England, but it's never happened.
I mean, why not, though? Because I honestly, it would be difficult for the West Coast teams, obviously, to get out there.
Right, brutal trip.
Yeah. I mean, these are
well, you give them the bye week, like the Jets had yesterday.
That's right. I will tell you, there's not an open seat in the house.
Oh, that's
They
cool.
play these games in the Tottenham Stadium, which is brand new.
Yeah.
Just built in 2019 for the soccer team. They used to play at Wembley.
Uh-huh.
Now they moved to the brand new soccer stadium, and the place is packed.
Might have to go check it out in December. When
there you go.
From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, 59 degrees for a high today, lots of sun. Sun tomorrow and 67 degrees. Sun Wednesday, 76 degrees. Sun Thursday, 74 degrees. Currently, it's 50 degrees in New York City. And one more thing. This is cool. A new survey found that the ones having the most fun these days, no longer blondes. No. It's redheads. Hmm. Researchers from Charles University in Prague found redheaded women, but not men, reported greater sexual desire and activity over the past year. Things must be awfully fun in the UK because that has the most redheads in the world. Roughly 10% of the population are redheads. One explanation, according to experts, is that they're simply in greater demand because there are fewer of them than us blondes and brunettes.
Well, hey, being married to a redhead it rings true in my case. All right, Grammy award-winning singer Tony Bennett is showing he knows how to keep the music going. Bennett just set a Guinness World Record as the oldest person to release an album of new material. The 95-year-old released Love for Sale in collaboration with Lady Gaga earlier this month. However, Bennett's age isn't something Gaga noticed when working alongside him. When asked about it, she responded, "I see a young boy every time I sing with him."
Oh, that's very diplomatic. All right. Love you, Frank. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Love you, Sid. Love you guys.